How you doing? State police, have a seat.
Several times a month in Maryland, a handful of law enforcement officers work on a proactive operation to try and find girls who are victims of sex trafficking. Several troopers spend hours poring over websites and searching sex ads for those young victims.
That's part of Ann Kramer's WBL Right Here News piece, Game Change. And it's part three today that we're talking about. There's going to be five parts to it. And Ann Kramer joins me in studio. First time I've had you on the C4 show, Ann Kramer.
I think. We might have been on years ago.
Maybe at night. Maybe one time at night on something. Who knows? Going back in the day.
On another topic,
but
right?
this one is so disturbing. And, you know, I did a show on this when I was on at night with a group called You Are Not Alone. Ayana is the acronym of the group. And I've got a daughter who's 17. At the time, she was about 12. And this, you don't have to be a father but of a daughter in a situation, but you do take it especially hard when you hear about sex trafficking and actually who gets involved in this. And your piece today, looking at a 12-year-old who's sitting there watching SpongeBob SquarePants, waiting for some type of John or sex pervert to come and deal with her. It really puts, and I think the individual way you've done this, and looking, of course, at law enforcement and their role, but individualizing what it means to be a victim of this has been very important.
Right, and I think when we got started on this, and we've been following it for several months, C4, because it has so many legs and there's so many parts to this. And, you know, when you use the word prostitute or when you say hooker, woman who walks the streets, whatever
you
word
minimize them.
You choose, it's really what we've all been saying.
Right.
You know, we've been using those words. And as I dug deeper into this, C4, and as some of the prosecutors have even used, and I love the one phrase that Amanda Walker Rodriguez uses in Baltimore County, she said it's like an onion, you're peeling back the layers. You look at the women that are prostitutes or working and selling their bodies or are being victims of sex trafficking by pimps or traffickers who are selling them for sex. They're not choosing this. They didn't pick this. They didn't say, wake up one morning and say, hey, guess what I want to do?
An elective
I want to do
school,
this.
Right.
Right. It's about survival for so many of these women. There are some women that we met along our journey for the last couple months that did say, I know what I'm doing. My family knows what I'm doing. I don't have a problem with this. Stop bothering me. Stop bugging me. You know, I know what I'm getting into. But even the experts that are in the field of this and have been studying and know the psychology behind this say, you know what? There's some issues there.
And also, Ann, one of the things that's important that you highlight to me, but particularly look at the age of this and the criminality around the ages of this, is most of these young women who get involved with this don't get involved when they're 20, 21, 23. They get involved at very young ages and are groomed into this by people.
Well, and they're trafficked, C4. They're trafficked at such a young age. And, you know, there no longer is the track. I mean, it exists in some cities where prostitutes will solicit their customers. You're talking about the internet where they're finding this. I mean, you mentioned about the 12-year-old girl, but that child recovery unit of the state police. I mean, how do you get that image out of your mind for the rest of your life if you're a parent or if you're not a parent?
Exactly, human being.
A 12-year-old girl has been trafficked and her pimp told her to stand there and wait for her customers and for him when he gets back. I mean, that is just heartbreaking, and it shows you that everybody throughout this series and everyone we've spoken to, they take advantage and they prey on the most vulnerable.
Are these invisible people, Ann? Because one of the things I've found and dealing with this when I was in the legislature as well is when you bring up prostitutes or any issue related to sex, like unless you're talking about the dramatic 12-year-old, they're almost invisible people to society. You know they're there, but you're kind of dismissive of them.
It reminds me a lot of how we handle the homeless. It's the same kind of thing. Not in my backyard. Yeah, I see that woman on the corner there. There might be something going on. It's a very dark world, C4. It's an underground world to some degree as well. And it's a world that most people wouldn't know anything about. But I will let you know that Turnaround, the organization that was very helpful with our series, has shared crazy stories with me. Things that you don't even have enough of a reaction in you to even respond to these. There are middle-class families in Baltimore County that have been selling their children for sex to their friends.
Mm.
That's incredible. And the children go to school every day.
Mm.
And they live their lives. And this is what's happening. So it's not happening just in Baltimore City. It's not happening. There was another case in Harford County that someone told me about where girls were being trained, C4, and they were like waiting out front and going in and out, being trained. But John was there the whole time. And they were just doing what they had to do to survive. Who picks that? Well, they don't pick
when, you get into this, when you actually are getting into this story, what there has to be, at least from the pimps and these men that do this, almost a psychological profile that they use to go after. Are they picking on certain girls to do this, or what are you finding?
I think that Sergeant Ron Regan of the State Police, who runs that child recovery unit, who was just in that piece part that you played there, C4, really hit the nail on the head when he said his experience in the last, you know, dozen or so years has been that they're love bombing them. These are young women who are looking for love. Tracy, the former prostitute that we spoke to,
yes,
in part one of our series, C4, she said it too. She needed a male figure. Her father was in jail. Her mother wasn't around. You know, there's something to be said about that family unit. We know it. We know how it works in the world. And there's something to be said about finding love. And so even as parents, if your children are online and they're looking, watch over their shoulders.
Absolutely.
Yes, you have to decide what you want to do and how you want to handle, but watch over their shoulders, because these guys are trolling the internet looking for them and looking a way to find in. And then they love bomb them, C4, and they tell them that they love them. And then that's how they gain their trust.
Now, when you were looking into this and you see, like, this 12-year-old is kind of a dramatic situation.
Sure,
but how long, I mean, are there people that try to get away? Are there young women that try to get out of this? And then somehow, you know, after a couple of years, they basically have given up. They just are going with the flow.
Look,
what do you see?
I will use Tracy as our example, because what an incredibly courageous young woman. She, you know, was trafficked by a pimp when she was 14. Tried to get out. Then when she, you know, hit rock bottom, she's a teenager, C4. She's on the streets, nowhere to live, going house to house, has to survive. How do you survive? You have no job. You have no education, right? And then you are taken in. You find at a bus station another young woman who says, hey, guess what? We found these two guys and they're going to help us. And guess what? They drive
Same
her
thing.
To, you know, and then she's kidnapped and held captive for 9 months. And you know, you were talking about what they're trying to prey on, and I think that's a classic example. We also know that the pimps, C4, they steal their identity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard for these young women to get out from underneath their control. They will take their Social Security cards. Mm. They will take their driver's licenses. They will take anything that gives them any kind of identity. So, and they give them the money that they need,
right,
but not enough. Come on. I mean, it's the pimp. He's taking it. The trafficker is taking it. There is even, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, there is even something known as a pimp god in that world.
410-467-WBAL, toll free long distance is 1-800-767-WBAL. Verizon is star WBAL. AT&T is pound WBAL. Text me 88509. You can also follow me on Twitter at C4 Show. I want to talk also, Ann, say with me for the next segment, about the penalties for this. Because under 17, as you have raised in your piece, it's a felony to traffic an under 17-year-old. But in our state, 18 to 21, it's a misdemeanor.
That's right. And that's the group that police and prosecutors say it's the hardest and the most frustrating, because that's the age they see, C4. That's the women that they're encountering. And they want to help them, and they want to be able to go after these guys, and they want to put more teeth into these laws. Now, at the federal level, Rod Rosenstein, Maryland U.S. attorney, has said that, you know, their laws are tough enough.
Yes.
And they deal a lot in international sex trafficking,
right,
C4, because there are a lot of components to this. There's a lot of different types of sex trafficking. There's international at that level. They handle a lot of that. In fact, today we just had a guy be sentenced because he was running a brothel, and he was from Honduras, and he was sentenced to 19 years for sex trafficking crimes and for running a brothel. There's also Asian massage parlors in Baltimore County. Some people might remember those cases that have been popping up. So there's all sorts of components to this. And particularly with sex trafficking, they need several, you know, things need to be proven. Coercion, commercial sex exploitation, different things need to be proven by prosecutors.
And I want to talk with you, because I want your phone calls as well. How do we raise this to a level where people truly care about what's happening to these young women? Because lots of times you'll hear a story or even see a series like Ann Kramer's. But how do we keep the attention on this beyond the series? Taking your phone calls, 410-467-WBAL.
We get to tag along for the night. First stop, the La Quinta Hotel in Jessup. The team finds two women in the room who came to Baltimore from California. They start asking them questions. After some hesitation, one of the prostitutes allows me into the room.
I've never had this exact experience before. I've been arrested before, but I've never had people come in and want to talk to you or anything like that.
That's The Game Change, a five-part series put together by our own Ann Kramer right here at WBAL News. You can hear the third part of it. It was on Maryland's Morning News this morning. Also on Maryland's News Now this afternoon. Two other parts will be coming this week, Ann. And when it comes to sex trafficking and prostitution, and we were just talking about the whole issue of trying to save these young ladies. And, you know, one of the problems, and I found this out even talking about it a few years ago, is you can get some of these young ladies out, but somehow they find themselves getting back into it.
Well, I don't think they know anything else to do, C4, if they haven't been educated, if they do not have an identity, and you're trying to offer services to them, you're trying to help them. Remember, we talked about brainwashing. If they are under a pimp or trafficker's control, they are told to act a certain way. They believe a certain way. Their life revolves around it. If they get pregnant by the trafficker or the pimp, that apparently means that he can have even more control
exactly.
of their life. You can't leave.
Threatens
so
a child. Exactly.
The heartbreaking stories. A young woman that I met that same night we went out with that unit of the police department, she had just gotten out of jail a couple days earlier, had nowhere to go, C4.
I want to talk about that because I'm coming to your calls in a moment, but I want to talk about where do they go? I mean, one of the problems, of course, is once they get released from these guys, find out, get away, where's help? Where do they get help from?
Certainly, as we use, there's turnaround. There's certain different nonprofits around the area that try to offer them better alternatives, try to get their identities back, try to work on their cases, try to help them understand that there are different ways to live your life, that you can have a full life, that these are, you know, awful people. I know for our woman, as we've mentioned a couple times, for Tracy, C4, when she was kidnapped and held captive and raped and beaten every day and sold for sex with girls as young as six, she says, in that building with her. When I did my homework and really tried to trace what happened, the traffickers that were finally arrested and charged, pled out, they served 20 days. 20 days. Now, that was 2006, 2007. It was a different world then, but even now, the local prosecutors here will tell you, I know in Baltimore County, they get a lot of PBJs on these cases. They get a lot of time served, as you mentioned when we first started this. There's not a lot of teeth into making this stick at the local level. It's stronger at the federal level. And I think that that's what you'll see. In addition to services and to trying to help these women to understand there is a different life, that they need to try and get these traffickers off the street behind bars and get them punished for their crimes.
And I'm not going to get you in the opinion mode because I'm there. But when it comes to judges, I have a whole discussion I'm going to have when you're not here in relationship to their sentencing on stuff like this. Let's get to Cindy in Harford County. Good morning, Sydney. You're on with Ann Kramer and me.
Hi, C4. Hi, Ann. Just wanted to pass on, you were talking about how to get the word out, because I think most people don't even have an idea that this even happens on a local level.
Right.
You know, not in my neighborhood, but our church, Grace Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, is having our third annual, it's called Run for Their Lives 5K. And every person that takes part in the race gets a specific name from a woman, and we write it on our arm, and you race for that woman, and you're racing for her freedom. And it's going to be on October the 19th at Beachmont Christian Camp in Kingsville, Maryland, and they're partnering this year with a local company in Baltimore called Araminta, and it is a local organization that's bringing awareness to the issue of human sex trafficking here in Baltimore.
Sure,
Cindy, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, because, you know, a lot of people, I mean, Ann's piece is highlighting it and bringing it up, but when you talk to people about this, are they kind of shocked that in this day and age it's as pervasive as you and your church? I mean, are you finding that people are kind of surprised to the extent that it goes on?
I think they are. I think they think it's somewhere else, or only, as you were saying before, like just in the slums, not in Baltimore County, not in Harford County. You know, it's not something they're aware of. So we try every year to make it bigger and bigger, and this year partnering with this Araminta, they're looking at bringing in hopefully tons more people to do the race, not just our little local church. So,
well, please get in touch with Ann as well, because I'm sure, and groups like this are important to coordinate with a turnaround or with other groups like that to try. And that's another point. Thank you, Cindy, for the call. The coordination of these groups. I mentioned to you, I had Yana. You are not alone.
Right.
But these different groups, how do they coordinate with each other? I mean, is there?
Well, Maryland has a task force that's set up to C4 through the U.S. Attorney's Office. There's a task force of police and prosecutors and victim advocates. I know there's a big conference by the governor's office this Saturday. on this very topic. I think it's called Unchained. There's a link at WBAL.com under part one of our series there if people want more information there. But I think they're trying to work as cohesively as they can, that they realize that when this unit, like we talked about, goes in and tries to, you know, make sure there's no juveniles, if they do, they get them help. And then groups like Turnaround, other groups come in and say, let's offer you services.
Right.
Well, then, like you said, then we've got to retrain them. We've got to let them know that it's okay. We've got to get them acclimated, reacclimated into society, thinking about different alternatives. And then that kind of cycle starts all over
again.
And
it gives them confidence not to go back into
that
lifestyle.
You're exactly right. But police will even tell you, some of the guys that I was with on this unit will even tell you that you've got to have enough services available, C4, because you're talking about needing a place to put them. These women need to go someplace. And is really a men's homeless shelter the best
No.
place for them to be?
And you're truly rebuilding their lives. I mean, you actually have to start at block
Right.
one with rebuilding their lives. You have part four and part five coming up.
Yeah, we're really excited. Hotels, I mean, we took you there in this last part today that ran in and going on dates and that segment that, you know, a lot of these dates that the police set up were in hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of asking the hotels in the area, what's your role in all
right.
this? And I think that'll be interesting for listeners to listen to. And then part five, we kind of wrap everything up. And where do you go from here? How do you make this stay on the
That's
front
my
burner
question,
of everybody's lives and make them think? You know, we have a lot of things as citizens, C4, to concern ourselves with. We have a lot of things to remember that are outside of our own family unit and our lives. And I think that the hope is, but with, you know, victim advocates and police and prosecutors, that people will remember these are women. These are women that did not choose this lifestyle.
The
when you
beings.
Look at this, they did not choose this. They were forced by their circumstance or whatever happened to them to survive. So to please try and remember that, I think that brings a greater awareness to the topic.
Is this one of these stories, Ann, that kind of stays with you?
I don't think I'm ever going to let this one go.
I can tell.
This was, I'm so passionate about it now. It was just, I think it changes you. I mean, how do you remember a 12-year-old girl watching cartoons and she
you
was being trapped?
Drop that. You can't drop that.
You can't
that.
Let it go.
Ann Kramer, thank you so much, WBL
thank
News.
You.
Go to WBL.com. Check out all three of her first parts. They're there on the page. And listen up once again to Maryland's News Now.